Sendermeister. They let me back in the building. Unbelievable after what I've been doing this week. And we got to move in Romans 9. But we're not going to go so fast that we're not going to stop and smell the coffee. Oh, back to coffee again. One cup still today. I got my one cup. No more, no less. To Moses, he is saying, verse 15, Romans 9, I shall be merciful to whomever I may be merciful. I shall be pitying whomever I may be pitying. Consequently, then, it is not of him who is willing, nor of him who is racing, but of God the merciful. Oh, my gosh. Overall, he is merciful. Even when he's hardening whom he will, he's still merciful. For the scripture is saying to Pharaoh that for this selfsame thing I rouse you up, that I should be displaying in you my power, and that my name should be published in the entire earth. Consequently, then, to whom he will, he is merciful, yet whom he will, he is hardening. Okay, verse 18, whom he will, he is hardening, yet we still read in verse 16, it is not of him who is willing nor of him who is racing, but of God the merciful. He is the merciful even while he is hardening whom he will be hardening. He is merciful to your brother right now. He is being merciful to your aunt or to your friend from the church. He is being merciful to them now, because if they believe now would be the wrong timing. It's a mercy. God's in control of this train. Don't worry about it. Philippians 4. 16, or somewhere around there. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about anything, Paul says there. You shouldn't be worrying about this at all. Now, verse 19, interesting. The protest comes. Why then is he still blaming? Okay, you know, that's almost another topic. I need to skip over this. But let me just say this, that this protest can't even come up unless the protester is believing what Paul said, that God is indeed hardening whom he will. You can't even protest that. Why is he still blaming people who he's hardened? You can't even protest unless you believe what Paul said, that God hardens people. Just a little sidetrack there. Free little nugget of knowledge. Or has not the potter the right over the clay, out of the same kneading, to make one vessel indeed for honor, yet one for dishonor? We talked about the potter and the clay, but I want to emphasize this, the same kneading, the same lump, I think the King James says. You're no different than your friends who don't believe right now. I know it pains you to see such unbelief, but you were locked up in unbelief at one time, and it's the same lump. God doesn't have a lump of unbelief and a lump of belief. It's the same lump. We're all unbelievers. There's no one righteous, no, not one. No one is seeking out God, Romans 3, 10, 11. No one's seeking out God. That's the default setting. And when God takes God to move you, and then you will believe, and that's going to happen with your friends and your family as well. And the reason he does this, the reason he has these two playing against each other, believers and unbelievers, vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor, vessels of mercy, hardened vessels, is it so he can make his powerful doings known, verse 22. He's using them. It's a mercy. God is still using the unbelievers to play against the believers, and so he does this so that his powerful doings may be known. We don't see how God operates unless we have this spark between believers and unbelievers. He wants to make his powerful doings known, carrying with much patience vessels of indignation. Much patience. And this is what God's calling us for. Patience. Patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. I'm not telling you to go to patience school. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Patience. God's going to give you a spirit of patience, and I pray that he uses this series of talks to help you be patient with those he is not calling yet. We think he should be calling them now, and we talk to people. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm not saying you shouldn't present the gospel to people, the true gospel, because remember we said before that's one of the links in the chain. That's one of the dominoes. Faith comes by hearing, and so you present it. But if it's rejected, and if you're made a fool of, if you're ridiculed, you're not called to go after and after and after. I think what? The scripture says after a first and a second admonition, forget it. Try twice. I should find that verse for you tomorrow before this week's up. After you tried twice, just forget it. Don't lose your peace over it. It's in God's hands. So he carries with much patience the vessels of indignation. And in order to remind you of your calling, Paul goes and he quotes Hosea in verse 25, I shall be calling those who are not my people, my people, and she who is not beloved, beloved. And it shall be in the place where it was declared to them, not my people are you, there they shall be called sons of the living God. Now, it's not that you and I become the fulfillment of this promise God made to Israel. The key word here in verse 25, as he is saying in Hosea also. He's using this example of Israel as an example of what's happening with the nations. As it was in Hosea, God's doing it that way today. I'm calling people who are not my people, my people. And in Paul's day, that was the nations. The nations were not his people. Now, in the time when Hosea wrote this, it was the northern tribes who were not his people. They had gone away, they had gone astray, gone after other idols, things like this, and he called them not my people. But he was going to call them back to him. Now, Paul's saying he's applying this as an example. We're not the fulfillment of this prophecy, it's an example. And say it, Paul's saying that today a similar thing God is doing. He's taking those who have no claim on him, which is us, and he's saying, now you are my people. And now God's going to do the same thing in the future. All right? With those you are frustrated concerning today, he's going to say, you who were formerly not my people, you are going to become sons of the living God. That's God's pattern. We're seeing a pattern in Romans 9. Paul is using this to comfort himself. Okay? This is not some strange thing God's doing with Israel, Paul says. He's going back to Hosea, and he's going to be quoting Isaiah here real soon. Paul's saying, okay, God did this before. This is a pattern. This is the way God works. He only calls a certain people, and he calls unworthy people, but he eventually calls the whole. He eventually calls everyone, but it starts with a remnant, and God's in control of it all. Let's go to verse 27. Now he's going to quote Isaiah. He says, Isaiah is crying over Israel. You see, you're not alone. You're not alone in this crying over friends and loved ones. And Paul realized he wasn't alone, because 1,000 years before Paul walked the earth, as Isaiah was crying over Israel. And God declared this to Isaiah, or he inspired Isaiah to write this. Paul quotes it in verse 29 of Romans 9. Except the Lord of hosts conserved us a seed, as Sodom we would become, and to Gomorrah would we be likened. That's the end of the quote. What then shall we be declaring? That the nations who are not pursuing righteousness overtook righteousness, yet a righteousness which is out of faith. Yet Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness into a law of righteousness, does not outstrip. Ooh, that's rich. I got to get into that tomorrow. But for now, except the Lord of hosts conserve us a seed, we would have become as Sodom and Gomorrah. Right now, God is only after his seed. This is not some strange work. It's the way he's always done business. He takes a remnant, a small group, and he calls them first. So everything's proceeding as planned right now. Everything is in order. It's not time for your husband or your friends, your loved one to come. I had a woman write me, talk about her husband. Oh my Lord, I should read this letter. It's just amazing. Her pastor told her that to get her husband saved, she was supposed to take this anointing oil, this special oil he sent her, and sprinkle all over the house. Put it on the seat, on his chair when he sat down. Sprinkle on his bed before he went to bed. And of course, he didn't know she was doing all this. She had to pray a certain prayer 10 times a day and put this oil, literally, sprinkle oil on his on the furniture where he sat and on his side of the bed and pray, and that was gonna save him. And you know, she realized that was just tearing her up, and she'd cry every night, and it was not making her peaceful. She was worried and upset, and God told her, for one thing, quit listening to your pastor, because your pastor's not tuned in to the living God. The Apostle Paul's tuned in to the living God, and he is comforting himself by saying, God is sovereign. God's timing is perfect. He hardens whom he will harden for a time, in order that his works may be known, that his great power may be manifest. Who am I to stand in the way of how God wants to manifest his power? God is love. He loves my husband more than I do. I don't even know what love is. And I think that I am going to dictate the timing of this thing. What audacity of the creature to assume the place of the Creator. It's God's creation. God made these people. And He's going to do the right thing by them because He is a just God. And you know the end of the story already. That in the fullness of time, God is going to call. And I'm telling you, the fact that you might mourn today that God's not doing it the way you want Him to do it, and the timing's not yours, but if the timing was yours, and God did it the way you wanted to do it, the glory would not be as great. That's the flip side of this coin, that if you just let go and have God do it His way, you're going to see glory that you cannot imagine. The glory that's going to come from the late arrival of your friend. It's going to be fantastic. You're going to see something that you wouldn't have seen if they had come when you wanted them to come. God has something in mind that is going to just blow your mind. And it's phenomenal. And if you push your way, you're not going to see it. But I guarantee you, God's not going to make you successful. Just like with this woman I'm telling you about with her husband. He didn't make her successful. She, quote, failed, unquote. But now she's resting and she's at peace and her husband's happier. She's happier and God's already stirring the pot and He's going to make something happen and it's all in accord with His timing. And 300 years is nothing to God. The bondage in Egypt was nothing to God. Abraham waiting 100 years was nothing to God. He will fulfill His promises. I'm going to leave you with that thought today. And God willing, we'll wind things up tomorrow. I'm Martin Zenger.